The title of my sermon today is Prophecy 101. And I'd like to begin by saying, greetings, young millennials. This date today is Sabbath, Tishri the 17th, 500 ML. We're in the midst of the millennium. That's 500 years from where we were when we began this program of talking about what will it be like halfway through the millennium. It helps us to picture the tremendous change that this entire earth is going to go through. It is so different from today that it is unimaginable. So we have 500 years down and 500 years yet to go just to get through the millennium. We're keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures this very time in the plan of God. Now you can imagine somebody standing up 500 years from now saying, we're keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. This is part of the plan of God. 500 years from now, they will be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in the midst of the millennium. So I say to you young people, for some of you, it's been 15 generations or more since the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is ruling in Jerusalem now as we speak. And that's when your families, your forefathers, were gathered together out of that old world, that terrible world, that world that was ruled by Satan. And your forefathers, and you have the name, you have the blood, you have the DNA, your forefathers were drawn by God from the four corners of the earth. Let's go over to Ezekiel 37, brethren. Now, this is ancient history to you young millennials, but Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel all prophesied about the time of the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, which was somewhere in the neighborhood of 587 to 585 B.C., and that was a horrendous time when the temple was destroyed. But that was 3,100 years ago, young millennials. See, it's going to seem like ancient history to you, but I'm going to show you that the Word of God is sure and prophecy is sure. We'll begin in verse 21. God prophesied through Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37 and verse 21. And say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and I'll gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. You, young millennials, your families experienced that, witnessed that, lived through that. You are the product of those that God gathered on every side and brought them into their own land. Verse 22, and God will make them one nation. You are now one nation under God with Jesus Christ ruling in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king unto them all. That's Jesus Christ. They shall no more be two nations. It's not going to be Judah and Israel. It's not going to be Israel and Gentiles. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols. This is hearkening back to the time of Ezekiel when there was terrible idolatry on the earth. Or hearkening back to 2017 when there was terrible idolatry in everything. The media, the television, the courts, education, schools, everything. Nor with the detestable things, nor with their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they've sinned and will cleanse them. Only God can cleanse us. We do not cleanse ourselves. So shall they be my people. Isn't that beautiful? They shall be my people. You young millennials are the people of God, and I will be their God. Verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. Okay, brethren, let me step aside out of my teaching role for just a second. Jesus Christ is ruling over all, having established God's kingdom on the earth, and yet David, resurrected in the millennium, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do more, because God's way works. Verse 25, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. They shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, forever and again. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Verse 26, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Now that's beautiful, brethren. Wouldn't it be nice to have a covenant of peace at any time? We know very little peace in our lives. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them, I will multiply them, I'll set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle, verse 27, also shall be with them. Yes, I will be their God, they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Yesterday, young millennials, your class was on the subject of history. Prophecy is history written in advance. Yes, it was written 3,100 years ago, some of the examples that we're looking at. But it's taken place. You've seen it. You know that God's word is sure, because God knows the end from the beginning. I'm Warren Zeron, and I'll be teaching biblical prophecy. This is your class on prophecy. It's to help you realize what has gone before, what's going on now, and what's going on in the future. We have 500 years of this millennium in the future. As we look forward to the last great day, 500 years hence, there's some things that we need to realize, because all people are tested, all people grow, all people build character, and though you live in a beautiful time when Satan is bound, this is a wonderful world. It's hard for you to imagine what it was like when Satan had free reign. What made people do the things that they do? From our point of view, how were they so foolish to know these words that we're reading now, because they were prophesied, and still do the things that they did? Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at some examples. At about 30 years of age, the Bible says Jesus was beginning his public ministry. He was in the flesh. We read, beginning in verse 16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, born and raised in Nazareth. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." Yes, Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath ever since he was a little kid. There was never a time he couldn't remember having kept the Sabbath day. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Jesus Christ believed in prophecy. Jesus Christ fulfilled prophecy. And here's what Jesus read, reading out of the scrolls on that Sabbath day at the synagogue. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." But when Jesus read it, he was reading to the congregation. And he went, "The Spirit of God is upon me." He was being very definitive. He wasn't speaking in semantics. "The Spirit of God, the Lord, is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's all he read, shorter than a sermonette, just that little brief passage. And he closed the scroll, and he gave it to the officer, and he sat down. And the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Can you imagine, everybody, the audacity of that young man? Who does he think he is? Place himself into the biblical narrative like this. And he began to say unto them, Jesus said, "Hey, fellas, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." That is fulfilled prophecy. Jesus says prophecy is real and it's fulfilled. I'd like you to turn over to Isaiah 61 with me now, brethren. We're going to go back where Jesus went and read what Jesus was reading. It'll help us to understand a little bit about prophecy. Jesus was actually quoting prophecy from Isaiah, the prophet, who had written 700 years earlier. So when Jesus was saying this, he was reading old, old scrolls, 700 years old. And people were thinking, what does that have to do with us? It was being fulfilled. So just the fact that prophecy sometimes goes back 700 years, 2,000 years, 3,100 years as we're seeing today, it's going to come to pass. And young millennials, that was 3,200 years ago. Why? Because God wrote it. God brought it to pass. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Now we're reading it as Isaiah wrote it and as Jesus quoted it. "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, Isaiah is the one that has pen in hand, the quill on the parchment. He's writing it, but it's inspired by God. Jesus Christ wrote this, and it was just written down by Isaiah. Because the Lord has appointed me, think Jesus Christ, he's appointed Jesus Christ, to preach good tidings. Translate that, preach the gospel. Preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Period. That's where Jesus stopped. Right there in the middle of verse 2. Jesus didn't quote the entire verse. Paul often does this, and we might be saying, hey, Paul's taking that out of context. He doesn't have the full meaning. Jesus did the same thing. He didn't say anything about the vengeance of our God. Now, you young millennials, you know about that. You saw 500 years ago the vengeance of the Lord come on this earth after 2.5 years of tribulation by Satan, and then the day of the Lord that changed this world forever as he came back with his feet on the Mount of Olives and established God's kingdom on earth. So the second part of this verse is, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort those that mourn. You can go on and read that. Prophecy has duality. And Jesus Christ was picking and choosing the part that was then and there. The prophet John the Baptist didn't quite understand this. Remember, he came to Jesus and said, are you the one that we should look for, or should we look for another? Because he saw partial prophecies being filled, but he didn't see the vengeance of the Lord. He didn't quite understand that. And Jesus answered him and said, hey, just go tell John such and such and such and such. I'm doing that part of the prophecy right now. That's the only answer that he gave to John the Baptist. So, in Luke 4, Jesus was only announcing his first coming. He was proclaiming, I am here. That was 2,500 years ago, young millennials. 500 years ago. Students, that was when your forefathers resettled this land. God brought them in from all over the world. They were barely alive. They were emaciated. Your forefathers had lost hope. They didn't think they were going to make it. And God brought them in. And he put them in this new land. And it was a real mess. And he had a lot of cleaning up to do. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 24. Young millennials, when Jesus Christ was here 2,500 years ago, he warned the brethren, he warned the church, he warned the people of his day over and over that at the end time, just before he came back to this earth, there would be many, multiple false teachers, false prophets, false ministers, shepherds, whichever term you want to use. He warned everybody when he came the first time. And what was he telling the people of that day? He was saying, be discerning. Be discerning of who your teachers are. Do they live according to the Word of God, or do they just preach the Word of God and then they're over? They have license to break the rules. In Matthew 24, in verse 5, we read one of many, many of the warnings. When we read verse 5, Jesus says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah. Notice the last part of this verse. And shall deceive many. Now, nobody in God's church back in the year 2017, seemed like it was nobody, wanted to say, well, who are these many deceivers among God's people? They didn't look for them. They were not discerning. Let's go to Daniel 12, because Daniel 12 gives us a marker that helps us spot what was going on. Now, Daniel wrote about 3,100 years ago, young millennials. And we read in verse 7, Daniel 12 and verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. And this is history written in advance. When he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter, or that word could be translated shatter, the power of the holy people, all these things shall be accomplished. that does not bode well for the people of God. That was about 600 B.C. And God was saying, the power of God's holy people will be shattered and scattered. Now remember back in 2017 thinking, maybe God's word will go to all the earth then and the entire world would be converted and accept Jesus Christ. But it was shattered. It was scattered. It was broken. Something beautiful, a beautiful gem, the most beautiful ornament on the face of this earth was shattered and scattered. And that's the way the people of 2017 found themselves. Let's go over to the book of Micah. Now, you young millennials, you know this. This is recent history for you. It's been passed down, besides the scriptures, from your forefathers back 15 or 16 generations. Some of you have quicker generations because sometimes families can turn over every 22, 24 years. Maybe the average is 30 years. But there's been 15, 18 generations since your forefathers came to this land. And you have seen this fulfilled. But the people in 2017, they had not seen it yet. Micah chapter 4, let's begin in verse 1. But in the last days, okay, young millennial, those last days spoken of there 500 years ago for you, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. Yes, you know for a fact that Jesus Christ is ruling there in Jerusalem. He has established the kingdom of God in the mountains. In other words, He's in charge of all the countries on the whole face of the earth. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come. Yes, they all come up, even the Egyptians and the people from Libya and Europe. They come up to Jerusalem once a year. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways. And you young millennials are so privileged. You are being taught firsthand God's way by Jesus Christ, by His anointed one David, and by the shepherds that have been set up over you. He will teach us of His ways. We will walk in His paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion. Yes, the law, the statutes, and the judgment, they are still there. They are good, they are holy, they are right. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among the people and rebuke the strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So young people, you are privileged. You are living under a covenant of peace. You don't know what war is. You don't know the horrors of war. It seems something that's unimaginable. But the reason we're having this prophecy class is for you to think back to the way it once was. This was a terrible world because of sin and transgression and broken law. And the time is coming when you are going to have to stand on your own feet and prove your mettle. Prove your mettle to God, that you're not just sitting there and just soaking it up, that you are actually willing to do your part. Jesus Christ did His part. You will have to do your part. Continuing in verse 4, Micah 4 and verse 4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. And that's the way it is for you young millennials. You're not afraid. You're not afraid to go in the woods and spend the night in the woods, the beautiful woods, becoming like the Garden of Eden. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Jesus Christ is taking a very direct role in ruling the nations. And judgment is on you like it was on the church back in 2017 because you have God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is on every one of you young people. It's a marvelous thing. Back in 2017, there were many that didn't have God's Holy Spirit. They weren't held accountable like the people of God with God's Spirit were held accountable. So as we look around, 500 years since Christ has been here, we're in the midst of the millennium. Much cleanup of this earth has taken place. A great deal of restoration has been worked out and accomplished so far. The face of the earth is being renewed. I know it looks pretty nice to you right now. 500 years ago, when your forefathers came to this land, it was a horrible mess. You wouldn't know where to start. Thankfully, the rains washed a lot of the ash away. New sprouts came up. The earth bloomed and flourished. Even the deserts are now blooming with roses. There was a time when it wasn't that way. This entire earth does not yet look like the Garden of Eden. Our work is not finished. We have 500 years. Our numbers have grown considerably since Jesus Christ established the kingdom of God on earth. There were very, very few people saved alive after that terrible, terrible conflagration that swept the whole earth. But we have more work this second 500 years than we've had so far. There's more of us. We're further along, but it's going to just blossom. So much to come together. We've got to get ready for billions and billions of people that lived long time ago. The reason we're taking this prophecy class today, young millennials, is because you must know the past in order to know the future, in order to be prepared for the future. You will be tested. You know how you hate when a teacher comes in and says, "We're going to have a test Friday." Well, this is going to be a lot bigger test than that. Your very salvation, your very eternity depends on this test. Right now it's good. Right now everything is perfect for you. There's plenty of food, plenty of peace, plenty of love, plenty of friends, lots of family. You belong. But God is going to see whether each one of us takes that for granted or whether we will do like Jesus Christ and put it all on the line for God's way. So let's go over to Revelation 20, because I do not want you to underestimate the power of Satan. He is very deceptive, more deceptive than we can even hope to imagine. We try to picture, we try to be wise, we try to see for ourselves what it's going to be like. But it's very, very difficult for us to do that. Revelation 20 and verse 7. Young millennials, we are 500 years into the millennium right now. And God wrote this many, many years ago, about 2,400 years ago, because the Apostle John wrote at about the end of the first century. And when the 1,000 years are expired, we're halfway there, Satan's going to be loosed. Now that's scary. Think about it. Don't think about how secure you are right now. Satan will be unleashed, worse than a ferocious animal, out of his prison. And he shall go forth to deceive the nations. We're studying prophecy so you can see what it was like one time. Those people were crazy. They were foolish. Why? Because they were deceived by Satan. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Specified here is Gog and Magog. These are the people who didn't accept God's way, who did not believe Jesus Christ. He's going to gather them into battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. I have a note that I would like to share with you, young millennials. I wrote this down 500 years ago. There was a man with a voice. His name was Herbert W. Armstrong. And he said this, and I wrote it back then in the margin of my Bible. And he said, "They," speaking of you young millennials, "they will not know Satan. They will not have any memory of Satan. He's never been around in their lifetime. They will be easily misled. They must follow Jesus Christ, even as we do." And he said, "Unfortunately, they allowed themselves to be deceived." That's why we're having this class today, right now, young millennials, so that you say to yourself, "I will not be deceived with the help of Jesus Christ. I'll draw near to God. God will be my Savior. I'm not going to depend on myself. I know that I can be conned. I know that I can be fooled. I know that I can be taken advantage of." This whole world was destroyed to where there was nothing left but your forefathers. So the purpose of this prophecy class is to warn you of the deception, the powerful deception that's coming 500 years from now. And don't say, "We have lots and lots of time," because time is running short. It always does. Let's turn over to John chapter 8. I want to give you an example, brethren. I want you to watch this close. Many times, in many places, has man fallen into this trap. It's easy to do. You think, "I'm with all of my fellows. I'm secure. I'm in a secure place. I'm in a safe place." And we think we have security. Back in Jesus' day, when he was on earth the first time, now you've seen him come the second time, and that's why he's reigning and ruling here in Jerusalem. But when he came the first time, he encountered a company of men who had everything going for them. Everything was falling into place. There was never a more established group of men than these men that Jesus Christ encountered. They always kept the Sabbath. They always kept the holy days. They fasted often. They were in tight with the priest over at the temples. That was their headquarters. They never touched anything unclean. They tithed on every little thing. They even had authority to say who could attend services in the synagogue and who couldn't. These men were powerful. They were in Jesus' day. And more than that, they believed on Jesus. They were the establishment of Jesus' day. Let's read about it. Let's let the words of God speak to us. John 8, let's just begin in verse 29. And he that sent me, Jesus said, is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus says, my bread and butter is to do the will of God. That's what I live for. And as he spoke these words, notice verse 30. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So Jesus addresses the one that believed on him. That's who he's talking to. Now, just for a second, I want you to translate where you are here in the midst of the millennium to those people that were back in 2017, all the way back to the people that were here in Jesus' day, and say, what does that mean they believed on him? He was real. I loved his words. I love hearing his words. They believed on Jesus. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. Just like you, young millennials, you are my students. Jesus says, you continue in my word, you're my students. Indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That bugged them a little bit when Jesus said, the truth will make you free. Free? I'm free as a bird. Nobody's telling me where to go, what to do, where to get off, where to get on. They had this spirit of being free, they thought. Verse 33, they answered Jesus, these Pharisees did, and said, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage. And I've always had a little trouble with that verse because they were under Roman domination when they said this. We've never been in bondage to any man. How do you say we shall be made free? Jesus answered them and said, truly I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave or the servant abides not in the house forever. That's not going to last if you're the servant of sin. But the Son, Jesus speaking of himself, abides forever. He's with God. He's going to always be with God. And young millennials, I want for you to be with God forever. The whole reason we're talking about this is there's a danger that some of you will miss the mark, as so many before you have missed the mark. You do not have a free pass into the kingdom of God eternally in his family. In verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know, Jesus says to them, I know you're the children of Abraham, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. There's a part of their heart that was vile and corrupt and not a part of God's way. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Jesus Christ says, you're my friends. I'm telling you exactly as it is. I got this straight from God the Father. And you do that which you have seen with your Father. So Jesus is making a distinction. There's a dichotomy here. He's saying, my Father is God. Your Father is Satan. Harsh words, true words. It needed to be said. Verse 39, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, see, it turns nasty here. We be not born of fornication. They just got real downright ugly and dirty. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed and come forth from my Father. Neither came I of myself. He sent me. God the Father sent Jesus Christ. The people of that day missed the point that Jesus Christ was saying. And when you young millennials have it so good, you have fresh fruit for breakfast, you have warm bread for lunch, you have good meat for supper, over and over, year after year, century after century, you start to take it for granted. Jesus says unto them, why do you not understand what I'm saying to you? Even because you cannot hear my words. You young millennials may have not experienced a situation like that, where you're talking to somebody, trying to help them, trying to be there for them, and they're not hearing a word that you're saying. Young millennials, don't be like that. Hear the words of Jesus Christ. So Jesus comes right out and says it plainly to them. In verse 44, he says, you are of your father the devil, because that's the way they're living their lives. And the lust of your father you will do. They had hate in their heart. They didn't have the love of God. They didn't love their brethren. They loved their position. Oh, in the synagogue, sure, they loved their position with the high priest and everything. Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks on his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you don't even believe what I'm saying. Can you picture young millennials, Jesus having this conversation with these men that did everything right? Sabbath, holy days, tithing, they did it all. According to the book, there were no more righteous in their eyes men on the face of the earth. And he says, and because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. And Jesus asked him, which one of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why is it that you don't believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Now that goes deep. That goes a long way. You young millennials, even though we're 500 years into the millennium, you must look at what has transpired in the past. Carry it forward. And you must believe the word of God. He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, you Pharisees, because you are not of God. Now young millennials, I was young once, and I'll tell you, I know what you're thinking. You're saying in yourself, we would never succumb to Satan's wiles. Too smart for that. That might be a little bit of youthful vanity on your part to say, not going to happen to me. I've got his number. He'll never fool us. I want to tell you another story before we conclude today's prophecy class. Because Jesus didn't just say this one time. Young millennials, he said it over and over. There will be false teachers among you. You have to be careful. You have to be discerning. You have to look at their works. These Pharisees looked good. They dressed good. They talked well. They were educated, and they did everything that a lot of people in the Church of God back in 2017 says, that makes me a Christian. Because I tithe and keep the Sabbath and go up to have a great time at the feast, have a wonderful vacation once a year. I'm with God, just like that, me and Him. They were leaving something out. They were making a mistake. And again, I want to remind you, we're talking about prophecy class. Jesus inspired these words that we're looking at 3,200 years ago. I want to tell you about another group of men. Way back there, a long time ago, young millennials, they were equally empowered to those Pharisees. Did it all right. Had everything going for them. They had all the doctrine. They had all the learning. They had the opportunity, the experience, everything going for them. And they were just like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They looked good. They sounded good. They were the go-to people when you had a question. They were in charge. They were riding herd on everything. And they had the Ten Commandments. They had the doctrine, the Sabbath, tithing, holy days, all of that. And just like the Pharisees of Christ's day, they were once strongly entrenched. They were the ones. When people said, where is the church? People pointed at Pasadena. They pointed at North Carolina. They pointed at Cincinnati. They pointed over to Texas. That's where the church is. Those men, young millennials, were the recognized leaders in the church of their day. They too exercised the power to disfellowship, to mark, to put people out of the flock. You are out. That easy. And you know what? The Spirit of God warned them too, but like so many, and this is the warning to you young millennials, they reasoned around the words of Jesus Christ. It is so clear. Jesus Christ says, this you will do. And they read it, well, we would, but it's not convenient. Well, we would, but there's an easier way. Well, they would, but that's not my jurisdiction. You see, they reasoned around the words of Jesus Christ. Don't you do it, young millennials. Don't let it cost you your salvation. Jeremiah chapter 23. Picture this, young millennials. Jeremiah wrote many, many years ago. But his words were true when he wrote them, inspired by God's Spirit. They were true in 2017. They were true in 1980. They were true in 1990. They were true in 2000 when much of the church went through a terrible apostasy and the men that were on one side of the apostasy moved to the other side of the apostasy and retained their positions, retained their power, retained their authority. Notice Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's just begin in verse 1. These are the words of God. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. You know what happened, young millennials, back in the year 2000 and maybe 10 or 20 years before that? The church of God was scattered all over the face of the earth. For a while, more than 100,000 of them were keeping the feast. They were a gem on the face of the earth, and they were doing it. And some men came in. And yes, there was apostasy. Shame on those that brought the apostasy. But there were evangelists, and there were leaders, and there were high-powered men all around the earth. They didn't hold the flock together. They went off and got a chunk for themselves. Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Okay, I'll give you a moment. Pretend, young millennials, that you are one of those evangelists or one of those leading pastors. How do you reason around this, where it says, woe to those that destroy and scatter the sheep of the flock? Well, here's how you get around it. You go, if they would only recognize my prowess, if they would only recognize my brilliance, if they would only recognize how long I've been in the church, how mightily God's used me, they would get behind me, and if everybody would get behind me, we would be doing what God says. Men reason around the Word of God. Therefore, verse 2, says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed the people. That was their job. They should be giving week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath, sermon after sermon, good food, spiritual food, right doctrine, healthy living, spiritual living. So God says against the pastors that, the way I read this, should be feeding my flock. You have scattered my flock. You've driven them away. You have not visited them. Behold, I'll visit you, God says. Now, that's not going to be a friendly visit. I'll visit you upon the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Jeremiah 23 and verse 3. Notice what God says. And you, young millennials, you have seen this prophecy fulfilled with your forefathers about 500 years ago. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and will bring them again unto their folds. That's why you have so many cousins. That's why you have so many friends. That's why you have so many relatives amongst you. They shall be fruitful and increase. How many cousins do you have? How many brothers and sisters do you have? Fruitful and increase. That's because of God's word. And I will set up shepherds over them. Yes, Jesus Christ, the true shepherd. David, a shepherd over them. And your teachers over you. They once went through what you are going through and even more. They were given the better resurrection because of what they had to endure. And they shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking in anything, says the Lord. That's why you young people have everything going for you. Because it's the Word of God. You know that prophecy is true because you've seen so much of it come to pass. Everything that God said. And yet, there's a bit more that has not yet come to pass. I want you to turn over with me to Ezekiel 34. It's the same subject that we're here looking at in Jeremiah 23. But it gets more specific. And you are not left out. The brethren are not left out. The people are not left out. Yes, woe to the pastors, sure. But shame on you if you go along with them, or if you sink to their shenanigans, or if you use their tactics and walk in their shoes. We, the flock, are all warned. Not just the pastors. I want you to notice as we go through here, it's not just the pastors who are warned. Ezekiel chapter 34. Please work along with me, young millennials. Because this was written many, many years ago. And it came to pass one time. But these words are dual. They replicate themselves. These situations apply always. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, this is Ezekiel speaking now, saying, you notice Ezekiel didn't come up with this, God gave it to him. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Way back in ancient Israel, way back in Christ's day, way back in 2017, way back in 1980, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel. You feed yourselves. What about the flock? Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat. You clothe you with the wool. You dress good. Three-piece suits, big car. You got everything going for you. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which is sick. There are people hurting and in need, and they go to the minister, and they say, Your Honor, I need some help. And he says, be warm and filled. I've got some important things to do. I've got a committee meeting. I've got a council meeting. I got stuff to do. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again which was driven away. Those men, when asked, why haven't you invited back into the congregation, back into the fold, back into the flock, those that were disfellowshipped, not for heresy, not for sin, but because of politics? Well, they can find their way back in if they want to. What does Jesus say? Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. How do you get your mind around that to where you don't do what God says to do? Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have you ruled them. Can't be bothered with those underlings. And they were scattered. And this happened to your forefathers, young millennials. Scattered over the face of the earth. Because there is no shepherd, they became meat to all the beasts of the fields when they were scattered. There must be 400 plus little groups. Not all of them are teaching good spiritual food. They were eaten alive, is what verse 5 says. And then, Jesus inspiring Ezekiel here says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains, looking for a home, looking for where they belonged. And upon every high hill, yes, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth. And they're out there. Young millennials, there was a time back in 2017 where you could find them in ones and twos and threes, all over the face of the earth. But you didn't find the flock the way Jesus Christ intended it to be, one in unity and spirit. Nobody went looking for them, didn't seek them, didn't search for them. Verse 7, therefore, you shepherds, hear what I'm telling you. This is God talking to those pastors, talking to those false pastors, talking to those teachers. Oh yes, they're really entrenched and they look good. But here's what God says, verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord as I live, says the Lord God. Surely, because my flock became a prey, they became food for the unscrupulous. And my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. There was no shepherd that cared. Well, there was a few. But when you look at the vast array of those who claim to be ministers of Jesus Christ, back in 2017, go back and read your history books. People looked and looked, and there were many towns. There was no shepherd. Even in nations, there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed my flock. God reiterates this. He's going to say it four or five times, it looks like. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. Can you think of anything worse, young millennials, than for God to say, I am against, and you're included in the category? I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand. I'll cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. You young millennials are set here today, 500 years into the millennium, being fed good, pure water and spiritual food. It's for a purpose, so that you grow strong, you grow close to God, and you be a sacrifice, as Jesus was our example. Continuing in the middle of verse 10, latter half of verse 10, God says, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth. Yes, maybe in that time, maybe a little bit later, but every last one of God's flock, no, not one was ever lost. God gathered them together that they may not be meat for those false pastors. Verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. God knows where your forefathers were, young millennials, and he gathered every one of them. They are reserved. Some slept in the faith for a while, but God knew where they were, and he raised them up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. They're your teachers today. Verse 12, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in that day that he's among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them. That word deliver is one of the favorite words of Jesus Christ. That's what his name means, Savior, Deliverer. I will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in that cloudy and dark day. Yes, your forefathers were scattered. And when it looked entirely hopeless, God drew them from the four corners of the earth, brought them here, and look at the result of God's hand in your lives right now. And I'll bring them out from the people and gather them, verse 13, from the countries. And I'll bring them to their own land, and I'll feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and by the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains. You young people, this is talking about you right now. You're being fed. You have peace. You have beautiful hills, beautiful animals, beautiful wives and beautiful children. I will feed them in good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Everything is beautiful and wonderful, pristine, a whole lot like it was for our original parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. Jesus says, I'll feed my flock, and I'll cause them to lie down, says the Lord. I'll seek that which was lost, I'll bring it again which was driven away, and I'll bind up that which was broken. I'll strengthen that which was sick, and I'll destroy the fat with the strong. I'll feed them with judgment. God says this over and over and over. That's why I started at the beginning of this chapter, and we're just following it in succession. It's God who is repeating this for emphasis. He's going to deal with the high and mighty, and he's going to save his people. Verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, O dear flock, God is endearing right here, says the Lord God. Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle and between rams and he-goats. Now God is going to leave off here for just a second the pastors who are responsible. But he's also going to remind those people back in 1995 and 2000, he's reminding them that there were people in the congregations that got pretty rough with each other. So that's what he's talking about. Not just the pastors who are heavy-handed, but the people in the congregations that wanted more than their share, wanted to hobnob with the rich and the famous pastors. He's saying, you are on the hook as well. Notice this, verse 18. Does it seem like to you that it's just a small thing that you've eaten up the good pasture and that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures? There were people among the church of God that only wanted to be fed, and they didn't leave anything for anybody else. They didn't give back to anybody else. They didn't share. They didn't look for the weak. They didn't look for the maimed. They didn't help the people that were in need. So God is saying, shame on you people that just want to be fed. And while you're fed, you're making sure that other people aren't getting fed. You just smash down the good food so that the other people are having to eat the residue of your pastures. You've drunk of deep waters. Yes, Those people in 2017, they drank of good waters. They had the Word of God. They had peace, a great deal of peace, even in those days. They drank down to good waters. But God points the finger at him. He says, must you foul the residue with your feet? Are we, in 2017, making it possible for others to receive the Word of God? And as for my flock, they eat that which you've trodden down with your feet. Back in 2017, young millennials, I want to tell you what it was like. There were some people that were being fed. They were being taken care of. They were being nourished. Yes, they were small groups. They were small flocks. They were pretty much hidden from the world. But God's saying that they weren't doing enough. They had the opportunity to do more. Verse 19, they ate that which was trodden down with your feet. That's saying that the pure, unadulterated Word of God was not being passed on to everybody. It wasn't available to everybody. It was mixed with heresy. It was mixed with misunderstanding, wrong things mixed into the Word of God. We are not to add anything to the Word of God except what God has put in there. May the Spirit of God direct us so that we understand His words. But God is saying, those who came after those people in 2017 didn't even have good food, spiritual food to eat, because it was used up and trampled down by the people that had their fill of it. Verse 20, therefore, thus says the Lord God unto them, behold, I'll judge between the fat cattle and the lean cattle. So just because you're not an evangelist, just because you're not a senior pastor, God doesn't allow us off the hook. Verse 21, because you have thrust with the side, with the shoulder, pushed all the disease with your horns till you've scattered them abroad. Young millennials, at all times in every place, you are your brother's keeper. You help him. You take care of him. That is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. That's charis with God. That's grace. That's right. That's God's way. Not all the things that are so good. I never ate a pork chop. I never missed a Sabbath. Yes, that's where we learn God. That's where we know God, so that we can do it and love our brother in the end, is what's being said here. Verse 22, therefore will I save my flock, God says, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between the cattle and the cattle. So those people back in 2017, they had to choose their flock carefully, the ones that lived and kept the whole counsel of God. And let's just conclude by reading this last little section of Ezekiel 34, because it's talking about now, today. We're halfway through the millennium, you young millennials. And you know it. You've seen David. He keeps Passover with Jesus Christ every year now. You know what a terrible life he had, and yet he was cleansed, he was washed, he was raised, he was given life. And God says in verse 23, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. So the rest of the shepherds who are teaching you, we answer to David. We answer to Jesus Christ. We answer to God the Father. But we have it straight from God. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. We have it again. You young millennials are living this covenant of peace. This is the most beautiful time, and I know it's going to get better and better as we go to 600, 700, 800, 900. This world is going to be so unbelievably beautiful that it has not entered the mind of man, as Paul wrote so many years ago. And I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. That's a beautiful picture. Wherever you put your head, find you some nice soft St. Augustine. Find yourself a cypress knee. Put your head up against it and go to sleep. Mosquitoes aren't going to bite you. Snakes aren't going to bite you. Some bobcat's not going to bite you. Sleep in the woods. You can do it. Every time y'all have a picnic, you think that's natural. Go back and read prophecy. That is not the way this world is under Satan. We're talking about you preparing yourself, growing in character. So when Satan comes, he's going to look good. He's going to smell good. He's going to taste good. He's going to sound good, everything. And you might say, you might be tempted to hear him say, try it. You'll like it. Maybe there is an easier way. Young millennials, there is no easy way. You must learn to lay your life down. And right now it's easy. And do it a million times, 1,000 million times, until it becomes your nature, your character, to put others first. And then you'll become someone with the character of God that God wants in His kingdom forever. Verse 26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. God's going to make it all a blessing. Everything's going to bloom and prosper. And I will cause the shower to come down in due season. There shall be showers of blessings. Not going to have floods and tsunamis. It's going to be just right. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit. And the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel mentions that 70 times. They shall know that I am the Lord. You young millennials, you know it. You know He is the Lord. But do you know it enough? Don't be like those Pharisees. They believed on Him. That's not enough, knowing. You have to know it to the core of your being. You shall know it when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Okay, that's happened, young millennials. God has delivered you and your forefathers so that you can have this wonderful land, this beautiful gem of an earth with all the truth of God, the love of God, the way of God. Verse 28, and they shall no more be a prey for the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and so nobody will make them afraid. I don't even know if you young people know what the word afraid means. You've had it so good. I want you to be afraid of what's coming 500 years from now. I want you to prepare for it. Know the past so that you can know the future. Verse 29, and I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall no more consume with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. And again, Ezekiel is going to mention again this common refrain, verse 30. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they are even the house of Israel. They are my people, my assembly, my church, my flock, says the Lord. Verse 31. And you, my flock, the flock of my pasture. What God's doing right here in verse 31. Just in case it went over anybody's head, He says, I've been talking about sheep and shepherds, but I'm really talking about you, flesh and blood people. I'm talking about men in the flesh. I'm not talking about sheep and animal husbandry. He says in verse 31, and you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God.